This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
How are you today? Doing all right?
So far, so good.
Got Jody Mack today. Sounds good. We'll talk to Jody Mack. The Penn State basketball picked up a transfer from Nebraska. All right. So, I mean, they've got one spot, based on what my calculation, one spot left. But they've been getting front court players, big wings. I had somebody say to me, well, I'm sick and tired of, you know, every time I turn around, they're getting a wing player. Okay. As somebody who's been around the block in the league a couple of times, it is a league that features, everybody talks about the centers, but big wings are, I mean, I'm talking like big wings with some heft to them, some bulk. And this guy is a 2'3". But you're talking about a 6'8", 2'3". Like, all right. And, you know, that's what they've done there. Now, football-wise, I thought Nate explained it pretty well yesterday. It's a little different, and prior to this is the calendar. Part of this is the calendar that you have in place here. And the NCAA, I don't get what they've done with the portal calendar. To start April 15th, go 15 days to the 30th. You have schools playing their spring games this weekend. Well, players normally are not going to jump into the portal, right? Until they can maybe showcase themselves playing in a scrimmage game like that, especially if they're trying to get themselves a spot somewhere. Looking to, quote, move up, looking to showcase what they can and can't do, feel like they're behind other people. And their calendar makes no sense to me at all. Why can't it be May 1st to May 15th? At that point, the semester is coming to an end for most people. Even trimesters are coming to an end at that stage. I remember when Penn State was on trimesters, we'd be done by the, you know, the end of the, like, May 10th, something like that. You know. At that point, on May 1st, you have a pretty good idea that you need to get out of there. You can finish your semester. And then you can transfer. But doing it now, and especially with schools, like, for example, I think I'll give you one. Michigan has a spring game this weekend. Now Ohio State's done, Penn State's done, Alabama's done. But Penn State would normally be playing that spring game this upcoming weekend. The reason they're not is because of the Olympic trials. You know, just based on calendar.
I don't understand. Their calendar's off on all parts of the transfer portal.
Right. So let's just look. These are the schools that are playing spring games this weekend. Okay? Spring games this weekend. Friday night, Indiana. Okay? Thursday night, Indiana. Louisville plays Friday night. Saturday, these are the schools playing Saturday. Iowa, Iowa State, Michigan, Baylor, Notre Dame, Texas A&M, Illinois, Michigan State, Oklahoma, Texas, Virginia, Wake Forest, North Carolina, Oregon State, USC, Utah State, Stanford, Florida State, San Diego State, Cal, Duke, South Carolina, Syracuse are all playing Saturday. Sunday, of course, Bucknell has their spring game on Sunday, as does UConn. Then the weekend after this, okay, the 26th, Arizona State's playing on a Friday night. And then on Saturday the 27th, Maryland, Nebraska, West Virginia, Colorado, Rutgers, Wyoming, Oregon, UCLA, Washington State, Arizona, Oklahoma State. Washington doesn't play its spring game until Friday, May 3rd, which is after the portal is closed. Wait, who sits down in Indianapolis and comes up with this stuff?
Chimps.
Oh, that's just so cruel. But again, you sit there like, who comes up with this stuff? And not only that, it's also running into the schedule of with some of the high school schedules. The entire portal thing has little sense to it. So I know they're moving up the letter of intent day to, I think, the first Wednesday of December or something like that. Or the Wednesday after, which would be the first Wednesday. What, the regular season ends on the 30th? And so it'd be, Wednesday, December 4th, I think, is what, off the top of my head, might be the new early date. For goodness sakes, make it June 30th. And most of these guys know where they want to go by June 30th. And you want to know how many guys changed their mind in the last couple of years on Penn State that verbally committed in June? I think in the past 2 years, it may have totaled zero. Most want to go out and enjoy their senior year, play ball, do whatever. Make sure they've got enough credits to enter early, whatever it may be. And guess what a coach can do? A coach can now sit there and coach their team. Now maybe they'll go visit, watch a junior play or a sophomore play on a Friday night. Okay. Or the guys that have already signed, you don't just like, hey, you sign, we're not going to see you until you show up on campus. No, you'll go out and watch them play because that's part of the family commitment that you make. Okay? They've already signed, but you're still going to go out and watch them play on a Friday. Right? They're not yesterday's news. They're your future. But you can then coach your team. And then when you get to December, especially with a 12-team playoff, you've got 12 coaching staffs out there that don't need to be out there trying to fill out recruiting and portals and things like that. They need to get ready for a playoff game, which is a huge reason why you're at your job.
I think with I think we're coming to a head with this, at least. I think the conversation is moving to the point where they're going to have to figure this out. Just even with yesterday's decision to, you know, just, I guess, for the lack of a better term, just go with it and make it, you know, make transfers, you know, as long as you're in academic good standing, you can transfer at any time. It's got to come to a head. They have to figure this out. It's getting to be too much. I think there's been enough outcry over the last couple months. I think they're forced to figure something out soon.
Look, now why did I mention June 30th? The reason I mentioned June 30th is quite simple. You need to give, okay? June is a really active month with camps, visits, and so forth. All right? At that point, you do have people that are verbally committing to you, and you get a fair amount that are verbally committing to you in June. All right? At some point, coaches have to be able to go on vacation. And they, you know, they should have July as a time to do that. And then, you know, maybe take a second one at the end of, I mean, even at the end of winter workouts, I mean, they certainly do have a little bit of time to do it, especially during if a school is scheduled spring break. But they need that time. And not only that, you can't be sitting there having, I've got to recruit, I've got to sign people, I've got to now manage the portal. Oh, by the way, I've got to get ready for a game. Really? College basketball has an early signing period, and they've had it for, you know, what, 25, 30 years now? And it's the second Wednesday in November. No offense, it works. Over and over again, it works. Well, college football is an early signing date, but they've got it set up. Okay, when I mentioned this is the second Wednesday in November, now for example, Penn State's going to open the season on Monday, November 4th. All right, so the early signing date's going to be after a game or two is played.
Okay.
But it's at the beginning of the season. It's not, you know, they have a late signing date at the end. Well, college football is a late signing date already at the end after it's done. It's the first Wednesday in February. You keep that. That needs to stay. But you need to take the early signing date and don't move it to the end of the regular season. Put it before the start of the regular season.
I was going to say, I think I've mentioned this before, but for kids around here, this early signing, the early signing period puts a lot of pressure on them because they're waiting for those Division I spots to get filled up to find out, you know, who's, you know, what spots are available at Division II and Division III, and those kids aren't getting to make a decision. My football player of the year last year, Carson Persing, he didn't make his decision to go to Lafayette until May of his senior year.
Right, exactly. And there's a domino effect to all of this. And I've talked about the early signing period being in the summer for years. You know, first of all, I talked about the fact they need an early signing period because, I mean, look, I've watched it work in basketball. You know, the three kids that are coming in, that's, I mean, Penn State will have four in basketball coming in, all right? One signed late, that's Hudson Ward. But the other three signed in November. They were able to go through their season. You know, of course, they're being visited by the Penn State coaches from time to time because, hey, look, again, just because you sign doesn't mean you can't keep, you know, making sure, hey, look, you're an important part of the family. But they've been able to at least go through and enjoy their senior season playing basketball. Knowing that they're all set, it's something that's big off their plate. They feel great about it. School feels great about it, and you go from there. It's the way football should be. And again, the number of guys that committed to Penn State in the spring and the summer last year, how many decommitted? And you could still, how many decommitted? And then you have this mad scramble at the end with people like coaches now getting fired in the middle of the season. Well, the coaches never got fired in the middle of the season unless they did something nefarious. All right? But you got coaches being fired in the middle of the season now because, and I'm talking about like Clay Held got fired after what, the second game with USC?
Yeah. It wasn't very long.
I mean, you're all right.
I am.
Okay. Just making sure. Sort of need you. This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
The Arizona Coyotes last night played their final game in Tempe. They had 4,600 last night, which is the capacity of the building. They will announce either later today or in all likelihood tomorrow that they're moving officially to Salt Lake City. They say that a new franchise could be resurrected if a new arena comes to pass, and they say it could happen within the next 5 years. There is a point, though, Todd, where, like, if you're a league, can you be too big? Right now you're at 32 teams. The NFL's at 32 teams. All right, so now you look at Major League Baseball and the NBA. We've talked a lot about expansion with those two because they're both at 30 right now. And 32 seems to be a nice round number in sports that works. So we talk about expansion of the NBA. We mentioned Seattle. We mentioned Vegas. Louisville gets thrown out there. Major League Baseball, Nashville gets thrown out there a lot. Portland, Charlotte. Looks like Vegas is off the grid because they're going to allegedly get the A's. But is there a point, Todd, where you look at 32? If they're in Salt Lake City, unless somebody's moving there, can you be too big?
I think that's possible. I they're struggling in Phoenix. It sounds like they're struggling in. They're having a little trouble in Winnipeg right now. I just wonder if the NHL needs to, get some of those teams situated before they think about expanding more.
Well, I would say this: the NHL has been forward thinking. They've expanded into great markets. They're the ones that have handled it well. I think they've handled it better than anybody.
Well, they were smart to be the first ones into Vegas to make sure you know, and it's worked. I mean, I think with the advent of the gambling on the online, I think the worries about being in Las Vegas were a little overblown.
And not only that, they're the ones that got back into Seattle.
Yeah.
The NBA's still sitting there, and they still don't have a team there, and they're aching for a team to come back.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Birdie Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. Ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities. Athletes, businesses, individuals. Go to NILGameChangers.org to begin your journey today. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at SunburyMotors.com. So a couple of notes. The WNBA's collective bargaining agreement runs through 2027, but there is an opt-out that occurs this year that would terminate the agreement after the 25 season. There is some talk about putting in a one-and-done like the NBA has. And Gina Auriemma says that would could possibly ruin women's basketball, and I agree with him. I didn't think it would ruin men's basketball. I've been strong about saying two and done, but I know the players don't want that. I've always felt that the player stance on that was always bizarre. Look, is it your job to protect the dues-paying union members you have? Am I missing something here? Instead of, like, kowtowing to non-dues members who aren't a part of your group yet? I never quite got that part. That made no sense to me. I thought the job of the union was to look after the current rank and file. Just me. Don't know. But they got the one and done, 19 years of age. And by the way, it was interesting in the new collective bargaining agreement with the NBA, there was all this talk, and we talked about it, that, hey, look, they were going to waive it. And the Players Association didn't. You want to know why? Because they were told by the rank and file, hey, look, what about us? That's what happened. What happened was the rank, I said, what are you looking at the high school kids for? What about us? We're the ones paying the dues. So they backed off on it. But for women's basketball, where it takes time to cultivate who these players are, right? You know, a Paige Beckers comes in, for example, with great fanfare. Okay, most of America never heard of Caitlin Clark until the middle of last season. No offense. You know, there are people in the sport who will tell you, hey, she's really good. And I remember she came into the Jordan Center last year and she was just starting to really gain notoriety. But it takes time to cultivate a star image as opposed to men's basketball. Now, men's basketball also has the issue for college players, and you're seeing more college players stay longer. The reason is because there are enough players from overseas being drafted. But he's right. I think he's right about that. You know, if the WNBA were to do a one-and-done, like, okay, what would that mean for the collegiate game? Because it takes more time to, quote, cultivate, develop stardom? I don't know. It's something I think he has a good point about. The Sixers lucked out last night. Jimmy Butler got hurt. And he's going to be out several weeks with an MCL injury.
I think if he's not playing, he's out one game, because I don't think their season's lasting past Friday without him.
No, no. Without him, they aren't going to play. I mean, but it would have meant the Sixers would have had to play Chicago Bulls, because the Bulls lost last night to Atlanta.
No, they beat Atlanta.
Excuse me, they beat Atlanta last night in Chicago, so they're going down to Miami to play the Heat. And the odds of the Bulls winning grew exponentially with the Jimmy Butler injury. I mean, he's out. I mean, they already have Terry Rozier's out. Duncan Robinson has a back injury. He was cleared to play yesterday but didn't play. And to be honest with you, the Sixers did not play well last night. They won. They won by a point. That's all that matters, but they didn't play well. And then there's this Virginia law. How about this one? Schools in Virginia will be able to directly pay athletes via name, image, and likeness deals thanks to a state law that was signed this morning. The new law, which is scheduled to take effect July 1st, is the first in any state to make it illegal for the NCAA to punish a school for compensating athletes for their name, image, and likeness rights. University of Virginia Athletic Director Carla Williams said, "If this law gets us closer to a federal or national solution for college athletics, then it will be more than worthwhile. Until then, we have an obligation to ensure we maintain an elite athletics program at UVA." The law explicitly states that athletes, I think it isn't appropriate that we're brought to you by NIL Game Changers this half hour. The law explicitly states that athletes should not be considered employees of their school. Schools in Virginia are still not allowed to pay athletes for their performance in the sport, but starting this summer, they will be able to use university or athletic department funds to pay athletes for appearing in marketing campaigns. For example, say we want to market the show. Well, I think we probably had to pay you, what, $50,000 to $100,000 to do that?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, yeah. Big star like you. I can see that. I mean, the suit demands, you know, $250K. I'm like, really? You notice there are no billboards with him out there. I have 250,000 reasons why. But they'd be able to do that if they're using a marketing campaign, which schools use those images all the time. According to Virginia Tech, okay, Whit Babcock said that Virginia Tech is considering a number of methods for how it might deploy school funds in the future. Options could include contracting with third parties such as a marketing agency or a booster collected to pay the athletes instead of cutting a check directly from the athletic department. He said the new law puts Virginia schools in a good position for both the current NIL marketplace as well as other forms of payment that we think we will see around the corner. He says that this is a better model and a better compromise. He says it's a step in the right direction for the Commonwealth of Virginia and for the country. The issue that you have with the federal government being involved right now is it's an election year. They're not going to do anything about this right now. I know the NCAA keeps campaigning. They keep going to Congress. They keep the bottom line is they're going there with their hat in their hand. They're begging. I mean, that's what they've been doing. Every time they go to a congressional hearing, they're begging, please, take this off our plate. We always lose in court. We need you to do something. And the thought process behind it is quite simple. There are 50 states, and you don't have 50 different laws, but you probably have 6 to 8 different laws. So we'll use 8. We'll use a bigger number. Because a lot of states have very similar laws. So there might be, you know, and this is another one that's a different law. Okay? It's a different law. I mean, Texas had to modify its laws to finally match up with other states. They did that a few years ago. So you can either do this through collective bargaining, and that's not a perfect solution either, because again, collective bargaining also means that said entity can go on strike, right? Or you can do it with the federal government, and this is not their area of expertise. Which means that there'll be all sorts of problems with it, but at least it would be unified. So an NCAA spokesperson declined earlier this week to say whether the association would allow all schools to sign NIL deals with their athletes in response to the Virginia law. The NCAA does not change its rules before July, and the school decides to sign NIL deals with its athletes. The state could then sue the NCAA if the association attempts to penalize the school. Let's see now. Based on the NCAA's track record in court, who would Vegas put the odds on? All right.
I don't even think Vegas would put that on the board.
Off the board. Can't touch it. They say that the in a scheduled session unrelated to the Virginia law, council adopted new rules that you talked about in the previous half hour about movement. Council approved plans that stopped short of allowing the schools to pay players directly. The council held its vote before Virginia's law was finalized. And the new NCAA rules won't officially be adopted until they're approved by the Division I Board of Directors next week. But they did adopt, they're forwarding to that board, new rules that will allow schools throughout the country to get more involved in facilitating deals between players and a third party. Now, I don't know what that means.
Okay. More involved, but not too involved.
Yeah. Again, the key part of this is athletes not being employees. Right? So like Dartmouth, we're going to be part of the Service Employees Union. Yo, man. Okay? You're students. I don't know. That part I've got a problem with. Virginia's new law garnered little attention before it was signed on Thursday. Liberty University Athletic Director Ian McCaw, for example, said he was not aware that the law would allow his school to sign NIL deals with its players when he spoke with ESPN 24 hours before the bill was signed. McCaw said there are things we can do in terms of assisting with contract review and negotiations and financial management. I haven't heard you can actually buy their rights. That would be news to me. McCaw said that Liberty plans to adhere to the NCAA's restrictions. Other schools in Virginia declined interview requests. That would be VCU, Richmond, among others. George Mason. Both Williams and Babcock, the athletic directors at UVA and Virginia Tech, respectively, declined to discuss potential NIL budgets that their schools are considering for competitive reasons. They both said they do not know yet with certainty how their schools would interpret Title IX laws when figuring out how to equitably share NIL opportunities with men and women athletes. I brought that up a number of times about the Title IX part of this. Title IX requires the school to provide equal opportunity for men and women to participate in sports on campus. While Title IX specifically requires schools to spend a proportionally equal amount of money on scholarships for men and women, it is not clear on whether the schools would have to provide equal dollars for endorsement deals. Babcock said, quote, "That's an open question. It's a huge question." The question, by the way, could be answered by guidance from the Department of Education, which, of course, they haven't done yet. Both Williams and Babcock said they would be pleased if the NCAA, Congress, or other states have similar rules in place by July. Williams said part of the motivation for Virginia schools in passing today's law was to create some urgency and incentive for either an NCAA rule change or a federal law that would provide more stability to the current marketplace for college athletes. Six other states, South Carolina, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Illinois, Louisiana, and Mississippi, have pending legislation that addresses their school's ability to pay NIL deals. None is currently as permissive as the Virginia law. The proposed bills in those states all say that schools could pay their athletes if the NCAA or federal government changes rules to allow it. See, those are conservative bills. In other words, it has to be allowed by the NCAA. It has to be allowed through federal legislation.
I think the most interesting line is they're allowed to talk to their collectives, too?
Yes. Yep. In order of coming up with the funds to do this. In other words, I'm sitting there and I need the quarterback to be on billboards and on posters and things like that to promote the upcoming season, as an example.
Well, I was just going to say, isn't that what Florida State got in trouble for originally, was facilitating right. The collective and the kids? So that's kind right. of an interesting part of it, too.
Well, a lot of this stuff is changing. It's just changing by the hour. So I go to the collective and say, hey, look, he should be compensated for doing this. What can you come up with? It sounds like that's what you can do under the Virginia law. Senator Kristen Thompson of Oklahoma, she's a state senator, authored the pending NIL bill in her state. She told ESPN the goal was to make sure no state laws would hamper their schools if the NCAA or Congress decided to update the rules. So when I'm talking about these six states, South Carolina, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Illinois, Louisiana, Mississippi, that's just to clear the road if the rules change. Virginia's doesn't do that. It kicks it into another gear starting July 1. All right. We'll take a break. This half hour brought to you by, ironically, NIL Game Changers. Go to NILGameChangers.org here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday. Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
I will say this. I want to give credit where credit's due. I don't think anybody knows what they're doing with this thing. Hey, really? Think about it. I don't think anybody knows what they're doing.
No, I don't think they do. They're flying by the seat of their pants.
I mean, it really is remarkable. Like, everybody's guessing. They're throwing darts. They're trying to, like, do something or seem like they're doing something. They're being really conservative about it because they don't want to do too much. And, like, okay, there you go.
It's like they're looking for leadership, Steve.
Oh, no. Really? Yeah. Yeah. They probably are.
They're not getting it, but they're looking for it.
Yeah, they're in search of it, that's for sure. Nobody knows what to do. And that's and part of it is, and I do understand this, is that they don't want to make athletes employees. Look, places have enough employees. I mean, for example, let's take Penn State. Penn State's been going through budgets and things like that. So you're going through budgets and everything like that. Okay, now you're going to bring on all these people as employees, which means you have to pay them benefits, which means, you know what I mean? There's just a long list of stuff like this. You know what I mean? I mean, there's, you know, the employer side of this does come into play. Do you start, like, sitting there and lay off other people because you're because of this? I don't know. Yeah, oh, they have enough money. Yeah, okay, that's an interesting way to look at it, but you know. I don't know. It's a different time, my man. It's a different time.
It is, and I'm not sure when they said on NIL was legal that this is what, I don't even think anybody anticipated it getting to this point.
Well, I didn't. I was all for NIL if it meant that, you know, hi, I'm Todd Hummel. I'm here for Sunbury Motors. And Sunbury Motors gives you, you come to an agreement as for you being their spokesperson on a radio commercial, TV commercial, photo for a newspaper, whatever it may be, right?
Yeah.
To me, that's name, image, and likeness. I've always felt the entire time that athletes should be compensated for that. Okay? Todd Hummel, star quarterback, Penn State University. Blah, goes out and should be able to get NIL deals where you're capitalizing on your name, image, and likeness. I never counted on collectives. I never did. That one, to me, that's the part that came out of left field. Where I just sat back going, wow, really?
I think they realized that what's the NCAA going to do, stop us? And the answer was no, and the answer has been no. I mean...
Yeah. I mean, it's true. I mean, you're right about that. I'm just saying that I never counted on collectives. I absolutely was behind. Hey, I'm Todd Hummel. Great to have you with us. All right? I do all my shopping at Wise Markets. Right? To me, that's name, image, and likeness. You should be compensated for that, and you should be able to capitalize on it. Right? Caitlin Clark for State Farm. She should be able to capitalize on it, and she has. That, to me, is name, image, and likeness. Collectives are not. That's the part that threw me for a loop. And to me, that's the part you need to figure out how to make it work. Because... that's the part that I don't think anybody's sure of right now. How do you make... okay, it's not the ability to go out and do a commercial and get compensated. It's the collective part they're trying to figure out.